Good evening. We stopped rather abruptly last week with this wonderful sentence of Dogen, which is bewildering and charming and very helpful to chew on. Need anyone who can deeply discern what is important or trivial will thereby have this faith. Needless to say, people who think secular duties interfere with Buddha Dharma only know that there is no Buddha Dharma in the secular realm, and do not yet realize that there is nothing secular in the realm of Buddha. So I hope this can be a kind of encouragement to you, to all of us, that the realms that we're talking about, the Buddha Dharma realm, the secular realm, to really carefully discern what that is. Discern our knowing about and experiencing of what it means to be secular. I would say cut off. Isolated in the self. In me. And in the Buddha realm, there is no separation. It's all Buddha realm. And no isolated me. Of course, we experience both, and that's what he's pointing out. But in our experience of the secular, we can't find the Buddha. In the Buddha realm, the secular disappears. There's no such thing as either one, actually. It's just all is life itself. And of course, its point is that this is a practice for everybody, anybody. Anybody can do this, anybody can engage in this practice without being special. Or being special, as he points out about kings who could actually practice the Buddha way and still be kings. Apparently secular, but expanding the view. Creating a Buddha realm in the realm, or acknowledging and accepting the Buddha realm in the realm. So he talks about a minister of state who is a high official who enjoys zazen in his spare time, and yet He says, I'm known as a Buddhist elder throughout the country. Although this person had no rest from his official duties, because of his deep aspiration, he attained the Buddha way. And then in Great Song China also, emperors and great ministers and military and civilian officials all aspire to study the way. And then he says, those reigns will be peaceful. There are a number of Buddhist organizations now who are working in this realm, not for justice, but for peace, trying to persuade people that this practice will create a better world. I just saw something online about an African in Cameroon who is creating a Zen center in order to create peace in his country. And then he points out that even in Shakyamuni's time, even the worst criminals and those with harmful views gained the way. And so there's nobody who is hopeless. Even Angulimala, who killed 99 people when he met the Buddha, met the way. Even hunters and woodcutters, rough guys. So then somebody asks about this declining age. Every age thinks it's the declining age. They always spell out in Buddhism the teaching of the real teaching, and then the the modified teaching, and then the age of decline. And every age thinks that the age before was better and that we're in an age of decline. And as people get older, they think it more. Things weren't like this when I was young. And surely it's getting worse. It's got to be that way. It's a curious function of our brain, I think, that we tend to think that way. But Dogen says, forget about it. True semblance and final dharma are the three distinctions, and it's said that all who practice will attain the way, especially in this simply transmitted true dharma. Both in entering dharma and in embodying it freely, we receive and use our own family treasure. So, not to worry about that, what era we're in, just practice. And know on your own whether only those who practice know on their own whether they attain enlightenment or not. Just as those who use water notice on their own if it is cold or warm. And Kaz's translation is, you are enriched with the treasure of yourself, leaving bondage behind. So So that brings us to this question of the self. Question 16, which is about the fire boy. Someone said, in Buddha Dharma, those who thoroughly understand the principle that mind itself is Buddha, even if they do not chant sutras with their mouths or practice the Buddha way with their bodies, still lack nothing at all of Buddha Dharma. Simply knowing that the Buddha Dharma exists in the self from the beginning is the perfect accompaniment of the way. Outside of this, you should not seek from other people, much less take the trouble to engage the way in Zazen. And Dogen says politely, these words are total nonsense. It is as if you said, how could anyone with cognition or who has a mind fail to understand when taught this principle? You should know that Buddha Dharma is studied by truly giving up the view which discriminates self and others. If just knowing that the self is itself Buddha was attainment of the way, Shakyamuni would not have taken the trouble in ancient times to give guidance. Then he tells the story. Long ago, Gensoku was the director monk in the assembly of Zen Master Hogen. Hogen asked him, Director Gensoku, how long have you been in my assembly? Gensoku replied, I have already been in the master's assembly for 3 years. Hogen said, you are a student. Why haven't you ever asked me about Buddha Dharma? Gensoku said, I cannot deceive you, O teacher. Once, when I was at Zen Master Seiho's place, I realized the peace and joy of Buddha Dharma. Hogen asked, with which words were you able to enter? Gensoku responded, I once asked Seiho, what is the self of the student? In other words, what is myself? Seiho said, the fire boy comes seeking fire. Hogen said, good words. However, I'm afraid that you did not really understand them. Gensoku said, my understanding is that the fire boy belongs to fire. Already fire, still he seeks fire, just like being self and seeking self. Hogen exclaimed, now I really know that you don't understand. If Buddha Dharma was like that, it would not have been transmitted up to today. At this, Gensoku was overwrought and immediately left. On the road, he thought, the master is one of the world's fine teachers and also the guiding teacher of 500 people. Certainly there must be merit in this pointing out my error. He returned to Hogen and after doing prostrations in repentance, asked, what is the self of this student? Hogen said, the fire boy comes seeking fire. With these words, Gensoku was greatly enlightened to Buddha Dharma. Dogen says, clearly understand that to comprehend the self is itself Buddha cannot be called understanding Buddha Dharma. If the comprehension that self is itself Buddha was the Buddha Dharma, Zen Master Hogen would not have used that saying for guidance or made such an admonishment. From the time you first meet a good teacher, just genuinely inquire about the manners and standards for practice. Don't worry about being a Buddha. Single-mindedly engage in the way of Zazen. And do not keep your mind stuck on a single knowledge or half comprehension. The wondrous method of Buddha Dharma is not without meaning. So Gensoku thought it was him. He thought the fire boy was him seeking Buddha when he was already Buddha, that's what his teacher meant. And what his teacher and his new teacher were telling him that there is no self. That the seeking is itself the Buddha. So the fire boy itself is seeking itself. There are two sides, as Dogen said. There's the limited self side and there's the Buddha side. And if you say, I'm Buddha, it's completely wrong without, because it's saying that this limited self is something that it's not. Can you see it? Yeah.
So when did it happen that? Is it when he came back to the master? Is it him questioning again or giving up the question?
He gave up the question.
So that's what did it?
Yes.
Although it was the same question that he was asking.
It was.
Right?
And the same answer.
Right.
But it was a different person who came back.
He came back.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And when he came back asking the same question again, it was... He didn't know he was asking the same question again?
Oh, I think he did.
He did, mm-hmm. But with a different...
Yes.
...tone or different...
Different view.
View.
He was humble.
And that's my question. I feel like when we see it, we know it, mm-hmm. Or not necessarily.
It isn't necessary.
That, you know, you could get it but not know that you're getting it?
Yes.
And that's what happened then?
Well, he only got half.
Okay.
He got the half that all beings are Buddha, so you can say I'm Buddha too. But he didn't get the other half, that Buddha is not this. This can't say I'm Buddha. That's the point. This little me, personal me, can't say so. That's a lie. But you know how the other side is being felt continually as part of something very much bigger. So it's the much bigger part that the teacher was pointing out. It's a tricky thing, but it's an important thing. I mean, it's an old story that people worry at, trying to figure out. But you got it. So not to worry about being a Buddha or not being a Buddha, that's the main message of this. Don't say, and don't if people, there's some people who sort of sell themselves as Buddha, as a version of Buddha, or as deeply enlightened or something, and it's well not to trust them. It's not something to say. It's not something true to say. So are there any more questions?
Talked about secular and Buddha Dharma. So, secular is identifying those eight worldly dharmas in the way they are part of our that secular world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Praise and blame, those mm-hmm. issues. That's what you're saying, and identifying those. And that time that we're not involved or engaged in that, we're engaged in something else. Am I speaking correctly?
I'm not sure. What do you mean by something else?
When when I'm sitting in Zazen and I'm not particularly engaged in any particular thought of praise and blame and all those things that seem to me self-identifying or self-concerns.
Yes. Yes.
And in Zazen, you have moments where you're no longer identifying with those worldly dharmas. I guess is the way I'm trying to explain it.
It's bigger than that, though. It's identifying the worldly dharmas as Buddha. So it's not separating them out. It's bringing it in. So that it's not just limited to Zazen, it's everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
That you are it, and it is you. So what you meet is Buddha in the Buddha realm. In the secular realm, you don't meet Buddha, you just are yourself blundering around with all those things. But of course, that's Buddha too. So this is a little bit kind of extra special, too much to say, because there is no separation in the end. But it's about mostly how it is off the cushion, that our insight into our actual presence in the world, how it is to be, and how it is to relate as a being to all being. It's about relationship. And it's about the heart. So it's very big.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're in the realm of, in our mind, in a mind realm of tire kicking, we don't notice it. And so our work is to sit long enough and sturdily enough that we begin to notice and pay attention. And then we're not so driven to kick tires anymore. It's because it's not a sense of something opposing us anymore. Nothing is opposing us.
in our sitting, in my sitting practice, I feel sometimes, like when I first started sitting, I was so much more kind of like the beginner's mind, yet I'm thinking I'm doing everything right or more excited and more with it.
Yeah.
And then I kind of fall out of it because I'm going to go sit, you know, rather than
Right.
And at the beginning, you know, you said sit in the morning, half hour, start 20 minutes, half hour, and then at night. And then as we go, the minutes get shorter, and it's kind of, I mean, I don't know if this is a good explanation. I remember my teacher, I played the piece so many times. She says, "Samia, you've played it to death. Let it sit, let it rest for a while, and come back with it new light."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that I don't want to sit, but it's like it feels sometimes, let yourself miss it, so when you come back, you're really sitting. Have it be quality sitting. That then I gotta sit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you go through that in your practice?
Yes.
Make yourself starve for it rather than I'm doing it.
I think if you drive yourself to do it, it becomes unfortunate.
Right.
And if you're going to sit because you're excited and thrilled, that's unfortunate too. That it's just a part of us. And so we do it as dutifully as we brush our teeth, I always think, which is not every single day sometimes, because things come up and we do something else. But it is basically a part of our everyday life. And if we skip it, sometimes that's a good thing, to get some space around it so it's not such an obsession. And then it is boring, though. I mean, it can be very boring. It isn't full of huge insights all the time or, you know, great events. It's more like giving your brain a bath. The brain really changes in the process of Zazen. In big ways that don't happen any other way that anybody knows. I mean, LSD and all the mushrooms and things do things to the brain too, but it's not the same. It's something that we seem made to be doing, though we don't know exactly why.
Is it kind of like a muscle memory? I mean, I know it's not that way, but, you know, when you work out, this remembers remembers how to do it.
I think so.
If you haven't done it and you come across needing to use that, you still know how to use it or act accordingly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what always amazes me about the word practice. Mm. It's practice.
Mm.
And I have the whole image of not too tight and not too loose. Mm. That's what I'm always playing with. I don't want to be too tight, but better go do it or let myself go. It's a very... And I don't like brushing my teeth. I remember once during Shasheen, and I think it was Michael. It was early on, and I went to Michael, and I go, "Oh gosh, my sitting is just so crappy." He goes to me, and I think Angie said it in different ways too. He says, "Well, what are you expecting it to be?"
Mm.
It's that whole thing again.
Yeah,
we have this. Angie told me once, sit to your board. Of course, she says she can't remember saying it. I think I sat for a year sleeping. It's a fascinating practice. It just, since our brain is so fascinating too, it's kind of.
Chogyam Trungpa said, if you're bored, you're getting close.
See? Yeah, see? Another 20 years. Sorry.
Yeah! He didn't say how close.
You know, you have to walk this way, you turn here, you do this, you do that. So your mind is trained to remember those things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not there, you're forgetting it.
Yes.
So the reason why I asked not doing it every day, because I'm excited now about tea, so I'm doing it every day. So I started, all of a sudden I'm finding myself closing the door when I need to open it, and it's becoming like...
Mm.
Not, I'm not there. I'm already making all these mistakes, which is telling me I'm not there.
That's part of the learning process. Once you really focus hard on it and work really hard to make it conscious, then your unconscious has to take it all in and work on it. So it becomes natural. And so it will do that. But it'll come, by the time it comes back, it will come back on many levels rather than just the conscious level.
I see. So there's different ways of levels of training.
Yes. And you want to end up doing it from here and not having to think about every single thing you do. Just let the whole thing flow, which is the point, of course, of learning all those little details that... then you're released into it by the hard work of learning it, just like music. You're released into the music in the same way. At least you were the other day.
Yeah, after 52 years, it happened once.
It was really something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now you know it. It's about 8 o'clock.